You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
Good morning. Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from LA. I'm Jenny Taft here with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Guys, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Jenny.
Just when I thought 2020 was history, it seems like 2021 is getting at least as crazy.
Yeah, to say the least.
To say the least. Here we go.
Just crazy when we left yesterday. You know, we didn't anticipate what would be unfolding. So we will get to everything that happened. And as you guys can imagine, players and coaches across the NBA were united in response to the United States Capitol building being stormed yesterday. The Celtics and Heat issued a joint statement and took a knee during the anthem of their game, and several other teams locked arms in unity before their games. 76ers head coach Doc Rivers also shared his thoughts with reporters. Take a listen.
It's pretty disturbing, obviously. Sad. But what is not is I keep hearing this attack on democracy, it's not. Democracy will prevail. It always does. I'll say it because I don't think a lot of people want to. Could you imagine today if those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? You know, so that to me is a picture that's worth 1,000 words for all of us to see.
Shannon, what was your reaction to what Doc said?
My reaction to what Doc said was the very thing that Doc said, and I tweeted it before Doc had an opportunity to speak. And Skip, what we got an opportunity to see yesterday is two different Americas. And why the NBA and the WNBA and so many people around the country, especially blacks, have been taken to the streets. It says, we're treated differently. Now, we hear what you tell us, that America is, ooh, America is the land of, and America is great. But we're saying we're treated differently in similar circumstances as white people. We're seeing it. And Skip, everybody got an opportunity, just like the George Floyd, we saw the man life leave his body on live television. We saw yesterday on live television two different Americas. And what we saw is that white America doing rioting and looting the Capitol. Skip, if this was a third world country, and I've watched, I'm old enough to remember that when in Iran, when they overthrew the government and I saw the people storm the embassy, mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember seeing in banana republics where mm-hmm. they overthrow and they hold the government hostage and they say, leave or else. That's what it was yesterday. This was sedition, Skip. This is what they're trying to do, is overthrow a government by using force. That's treasonous. You can't do, Skip, you can't. Because your candidate lost her. Skip, this is not a dictatorship. This is a democracy. And what it says, the Constitution says, whomever gets the most votes, because, Skip, you know, back in when it originally, when they set it up, mm-hmm. people ran against each other. Whoever got the most votes was president. Whoever got the next most votes was vice president. That's how it worked. But somehow along the way, the man that's in office has convinced the people, if I lose, it's a rigged election. Well, what happens if you win? The people love me. A lot of the people, the enablers, from the senators to the Republicans, Skip, have enabled him. They were on the very ticket that he lost on, but they won. Theirs was legit. His was rigged. I heard Jaylen Brown and I heard Jason Tatum, and what they're saying is, how is it now that white America, that we've been asking you to hear us and say there's two different Americas, and you tell us, no, everything's the same. Skip, I want to ask this. If you're not going to treat white America like you treat black America, can you treat black America like you treat white America? I'm not saying they should have been shot. I'm not saying they should have been tear gassed. I'm not sure that it should have been pepper sprayed. But if they shouldn't have been that, should blacks get that treatment? That's all we're asking, is to be fair about it. Skip, that's the good. Now, we saw this earlier, Skip. We saw this in Lansing. We saw them storm the Capitol with their long rifles and their gun and shut it down. Now, we saw this. He was like, oh, well, you know, that's just an isolated. Skip, remember now, the term they like to use is isolated. Man, that's an isolated incident. We saw what transpired when in Charlottesville. Well, you know, there's nice people, there's good people on both sides. But this is what happens when you enable a person and you allow them to create Godzilla. And then when Godzilla starts trampling the city, oh my God, how could Godzilla do that? Mm-hmm. You made him. You created this. And the black athletes says, you know what? We've been trying to tell you, but because it's never happened, what's happened to some of us has never happened to you, you don't believe it. You don't believe that blacks are treated differently. Skip, it's amazing how when you don't want to confront someone, when you don't want to harm someone, the lengths that you will go through to make sure you don't do that. Now, I saw them help a lady. Skip, I don't know how she got up in the building to begin with, but they had to help her down the stairs. Now, I saw them push a Black Lives Matter protester to the ground and split his head open. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. I see police inside the Capitol taking selfies with some of the rioters. They're not protesting because I don't understand what they protest. You lost the race. You see what the lengths someone will go through, Skip? If I don't want to harm you, I'll go the extra mile. I see security running back up. They got handguns. We got a hand on his gun now. He never felt in fear for his life. He didn't shoot anybody. Now, one woman did get shot in the Capitol, but I'm like, and as Doc said, I just want to know, Skip. I just want someone to tell me. And I want you to explain it to me like I need to be like 10 or 11 so I'm old enough to understand, but not so much to have formed this too an opinion. If 10,000 blacks, as Doc said, had stormed the Capitol when they're going through the process to certify an incoming president, if 10,000 blacks had convened on the Capitol and took it over, do you think the reaction would have been similar or would have been greater? And that's what black athletes, that's what Doc's talking about. That's what Jaylen Brown is talking about. That's what has Michelle Roberts, the head of the NBAPA Skip, that's what has her seething. These two Americas that we've been telling you that's been in place for 400 years, and you keep telling us no, and now we got a chance to see. What are you going to do about it, America? Mm. Because we saw it and you saw it. I'm good.
You good?
Yes.
I love everything you just said. I believe with all my heart and soul in every point you made. And I have echoed all your emotions
you
for
have.
Months and years on this show. But in this case, this very rare and unique case of what happened yesterday, I'm not sure any of that really applies to this. Because this was an historically, shamefully, shockingly, dangerously unique moment in the history of this country. Our Capitol building got stormed because the man who still sits in the Oval Office wanted it to happen.
Yes.
Simple as that. So this wasn't some garden variety white protest. Let's say a bunch of white people showed up outside the Capitol protesting animal cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over the edge and they stormed the White House and they were allowed to sashay all the way into the Senate chamber. Did that happen yet? Nope, that's not what happened. Can I remind everybody of what happened back on June 13th? Remember that fateful night when our president, who still has 13, is it about 13 days left?
20th, so whatever the day is for, 2 weeks.
Okay, 2 weeks left. Two very dangerous weeks left. Do you remember that he decided he wanted a photo op at St. John's Church across the street from the White House?
Yes.
And there was a whole bunch of Black Lives Matter protesters.
They were just standing.
Just standing. And it was about 50-50 black and white people.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, under orders from the Oval Office, here come the riot police. And they are dressed to, quote unquote, kill. Mm-hmm. You remember this?
Yes.
And they resorted to using all kinds of tear gas and
pepper spray.
Flash grenades and pepper spray and rubber bullets.
Yes.
They didn't just disperse it. They just annihilated it.
Yes.
They had people running for their lives just so our president could walk across the street and hold a Bible upside down, act by accident, to take some phony baloney photo op picture.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to keep everybody's head in perspective here. So then what did our president do back on December 19th? He tweeted that big protest in D.C. coming on January the 6th, which happened to be yesterday. Mm-hmm. Be there, period. Be wild. Tweeted our president.
Yes.
Tweets like this got him banned from Twitter for 12 hours yesterday.
You tweet something like that, you're banned from Twitter forever.
Lord have mercy, would I be? Okay, be wild, he said. And so his zealots, what are left of them, they showed up in force yesterday in a little park not that far from the White House yesterday morning, and it was called Save America Rally. Okay. And obviously he spoke. And he spoke for over an hour to them, and he reiterated that they stole the election from us.
Yes.
So he is inciting his rioters. And he said, we are now going to march down the street to the Capitol building. He directed this whole group of, I don't know how many thousands there were. We're going to march to the Capitol, and all but instigated what was about to happen.
And cheer on our congressman that's fighting for...
Yes, fighting for right, for this election result to be overturned.
Correct.
Because he thought his vice president was going to march before the Senate in the House and say, this must be overturned. And I don't know what he was thinking was going to happen, but he actually conveyed to his zealots that this was the magical day in which the election result was going to be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And they march down the street. They're already revved up to the point of chaos. And what happens? Help me out here. What are two of the most impenetrable structures in strongholds in our country? Well, one would be the White House and the other would be the Capitol building.
Correct.
And under any other circumstance, any other day of the year, if any group, I don't care what color you are, if you come up in mass and you threaten to storm the gates, I promise you bad things are going to happen. I agree with you. If it's all black people, then you got a big problem.
Yeah, thank you.
I got it. I'm with you. But trust me on this. Even if you're just a bunch of white people who don't have anything to do with that president sitting in that Oval Office, you're going to have big problems too. Okay, now help me out here. Here's the key detail to all of the above. These rioters, let's call them rioters. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green called them last night terrorists.
Yes.
They're
domestic terrorists.
Yes, okay. Whatever you want to call them, they're traitorous terrorists, however you want to describe them, because they're not protesters. Were any of them brandishing weapons? Did any of them have machine guns or even drawn handguns or rifles or any? I saw none.
None.
I could have been wrong, but I saw none.
But they say they confiscated.
Okay.
They did find bombs outside the Republicans.
Okay, they found two pipe bombs.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that they left inside the Capitol building.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm talking about when you have a palace coup, it requires brandishing machine guns. It requires bazookas, right?
I think the biggest thing what they caught was what they did. The way they were able to pull this off is that they caught them by surprise. And how you catch somebody by surprise?
You can't catch it. It was a planned rally.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He told them to come on January the 6th.
Okay.
It's like, Skip, you remember back in the 90s when they had the Million Man March?
Yes.
Mr. Farrakhan told them they have the Million Man. They were prepared for that date.
Okay.
President Trump said January 6th is going to be our date.
Okay. Here's my bottom line to what happened. They were allowed to sashay for right through whatever guards there were, whatever cops there were.
Yeah.
They were allowed to break some windows and scale up onto the balconies to invade all the way into the Senate chamber.
Right.
Okay. It was allowed because it was an inside job.
Yeah.
Trust me on this. Again, I don't have any inside info, but somebody had to send down word, let them be.
Yeah,
when they
was opening the barricade, they were letting them through.
Because if the word came down from the Oval Office, they shall not be allowed. Trust me, they won't be allowed because they didn't have any firepower at their beck and call. It wasn't like they came in tanks or anything.
Right.
They had nothing.
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Help me out. It's the Capitol building. How are a bunch of people with no guns, no rifles, no machine guns, no bazookas, how were they allowed just to pretty much wander right into the Capitol building?
You know,
it's because he sent down word, it shall be allowed.
And guess what, Skip? I look like you, so I can blend in with you.
Okay.
So a lot of those guys that's on the force, they support President Trump. And what these rioters and terrorists was coming to do was show support for President Trump. It's easy.
Okay, I got it. And the people guarding the Capitol obviously are at that point in their back of their minds, they're still working for the sitting president.
Yes.
So whatever the order is, we will follow the order. And by the way, where was the National Guard, the D.C. Area National Guard? Well, supposedly they had been called and they didn't show up for about 4 more hours because I think word came down they shall not
stand
be allowed.
Down.
Okay?
Yes.
Stand down.
Yes.
Because you bring in the National Guard, you got big problems for these rioters, right?
But that's what I'm saying, Skip. You see the amount of refrain?
Okay.
Well,
what I'm saying, this is a unique, this is a last desperate act of a man upstairs who, to me, forgive me for saying, I don't follow politics like you, but I'm just looking at it from afar, has turned into a madman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a desperate act.
Skip, he's always been this.
Okay.
But think about what power does, Skip.
Okay.
You don't want to give that up.
It corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it has and it does. Okay. So I said it's a last desperate act, and I'm just hoping it's the last desperate act. He did, our president, sent out a message overnight, which he said, we will have an orderly transition on January 20th. Well, I sure hope that we can make it to the orderly transition.
Can I ask you a question, Skip? So Twitter suspends his account for 12 hours, but does he still have access to that football? And you know what the football is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The nuclear code.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight.
Well,
on social media.
I don't want you even to go there. I'm knocking on wood.
Let me tell you something, Skip. I'm going to be all the way 1,000% with you. The reason why this was allowed to happen because white people in America have always gotten what they wanted. And for the very first time, people have spoken out and says, no, we want someone else. And they says, look, we want him. Well, you can't have him. It's like this. We want your land, Native Americans, so we took it. Blacks, we want you to do this. We want this. Oh, we're going to burn it down. They burn it down. So they've always gotten what they want. And for the one first time, Skip, they couldn't overturn the election. He could file no avenues, court after court. Republican, Democrat appointed judges said, no way. The people have spoken. And so for now, what's my last ditch effort, Skip? The reason why President Trump loved dictators, Skip, you remember Vladimir Putin had given up his power, but he missed it so bad he appointed himself back and said, you know what? I want to serve until the year 2037. All the guys in China and North Korea, that's what he loves, Skip. That's what he craves.
Okay.
But in America, we have a democracy.
Got it.
Where we vote for the president every 4 years. Skip, I don't care what anybody says. It could have been an inside job. It could have been an outside job. We know this 1,000% for certain. If those were black, it would have never, ever happened. As my good friend Mark Lamont Hill said, if blacks were having a conversation about convening in the Capitol building, they'd have shut it down.
Okay. Now, for the record, let's be 1,000% real. a woman got shot and killed. She got shot in the neck.
Right.
And three others of these rioters died, and it has not yet been reported yet exactly how they died under medical emergency. I assume they got hit. They got struck by a billy club. I don't know what happened, but these are all four died inside. Mm-hmm. So this was not a bloodless coup, so to speak. And there were reportedly 52 arrests. So it wasn't like they were allowed to just have their way. Once they got inside, some bad things started happening, just for the record. Not enough, but you know what I mean? And again, I'm not advocating they all get shot, like you said.
Right.
Okay, but I also want to make it clear that you saw, and you're a lot more political than I, but do you realize every last ally of our sitting president right now, everybody turned on him yesterday through the day, including his vice president? You know that.
Yes.
And as you always talk about Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell, they turned on him.
Yep.
Everybody turned on him. He has no ally left that I can see. And this was the final straw for a lot of people. And I was thinking last night, I have no idea, but we always talk about how Robert Kraft is one of the closest friends of Donald Trump. I will bet you know Mr. Kraft pretty well. I know Jerry Jones pretty well. He's close with Donald Trump. I will bet you both of those men sat back yesterday and said, what is he doing?
You know what?
And had second thoughts about him.
But I hold Lindsey Graham and McConnell and Tim Scott and Jerry Jones and Mr. Kraft, I hold them culpable because they enabled him for 4 years.
They did.
It wasn't until Godzilla started trampling the city that they turned their back.
Okay.
They had Skip. They know the meeting that he had with the Russians was wrong, but they forgave him. They knew the call that he had with the Ukrainian president Zelensky was wrong,
and they
forgave him. They knew, Skip, he called the Secretary of Georgia, the state of Georgia, about can you find the 11,780 votes? Mm-hmm. They knew it was wrong, yet they said nothing. It wasn't until all those people that looked like them stormed the Capitol and they had to usher 70 and 80 year old men and women down to safety.
They did.
That it bothered them enough.
I agree.
This was brewing. The storm was kept. It's been flashing for a long time.
How long
will your check engine light stay on before you go to see the mechanic?
Okay.
How long?
Good point. Good question.
And guess what? It wasn't until the engine blew up, put you downside the road, that you said, I need to do something. It wasn't until it took this for Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz.
It took this.
And they still, some of them still went along with it and tried to object to certification. Look at the House.
But a majority of the Republicans said no late when they reconvened.
Yeah.
They were all going to stage their bids to stop the electoral.
Kelly Loeffler. Yeah. Who lost to Raphael Warnock said, you know, she couldn't in good conscience, vote to decertify the electors.
Yes.
But you could when you thought it was beneficial for you.
Well, sure.
You see what it is, Skip? Now, guess what? President Trump, Lindsey Graham has no more pull because they lost control of the Senate. Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell has no more pull. They're going to be just guys now in the background. So President Trump can serve them no good. They want to eat him up.
That is true.
Now, if you want to see, now you think that was bad yesterday?
Yep.
Let him try to invoke that 25th Amendment and get his butt out of office before these 14 days up, and you watch what happened. They will show enough act the fool.
I heard a lot of 25th Amendment.
Yeah,
yesterday.
I heard a lot of it too. But Skip,
I'm just not sure you can execute the proceedings fast enough before the 14, it's really 13 days, are out. It's like, well, it's finite already.
Yeah.
He's going to get, quote unquote, impeached on January 20th, right?
Skip, we were thinking after the election, what could he do?
Well,
we saw what he's capable of doing. He incited this. Even, Skip, he was doing this at his campaign rallies. He said, bust him up, beat him up. And police officer, don't be too nice to him. You know how you drag. You push his head down and you do it gently. Just throw him in there. He's been inciting violence, but his enablers, that's not what he meant. Well, that's what he said. Mm-hmm. And he said, take me at my word. When I say something, I mean that. He tweets something, he means that. But they did maneuvering and gymnastics. That's not what he meant. He's not inciting violence. What he did yesterday, Skip, they throw people in jail for that.
Yep, I agree. And then remember, mid-afternoon, he posted a video message via Twitter.
Yes.
And he again reiterated, they stole the election from us and we actually won in a landslide? A landslide? Come on. Now you've completely lost it. And what did he end up saying in the message? You people go home, but you're very special.
Thank you.
Very special. Those people that I saw sitting in Nancy Pelosi's office. Yeah,
and stealing the lectern and they walking out of stuff. They got all kinds. Skip, he keeps saying, I got the most votes for an incumbent president in the history of in the presidency. But he failed to mention that he lost to a guy that got the most votes in the history of an election. Mm-hmm. So you got the most for an incumbent, but somebody got the most in the history of the presidency of the election. Mm. He got more. Skip, you lost the Electoral College, and you lost the popular vote.
Right.
How did they steal it? Why not steal it from Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, who was also on that ticket?
Yep.
We're not going to steal it from them. You just want you.
So bottom line, nothing like that has happened to our Capitol building since the British burned it down in 1814. Yes. They also burned down the White House and the Treasury building.
Yes.
And that will remain on the legacy of what's left of our president.
It will. That's on his legacy, Skip. But you remember, I think it was in maybe late 90, early 2000, two Capitol officers was killed, and they changed the protocols of how you can go and come into the Capitol. Skip, we know. Like I said, what was on display yesterday is the two different Americas in that we live in. And hopefully, people that says no, it's, everybody's treated the same and everybody's equal, I think they got an opportunity to see. Because you and I both know. If that, man, I don't even want to know what would happen. But it wouldn't have, it'd have been more than four. It'd have been more like 400. Skip, the Capitol, those are the two most, as you said, the two most sacred places in D.C. Mm-hmm. Because one housed the president and the other housed the lawmakers that enacts the laws that governs the land. Yep. So they will be protected at all costs.
All costs. Yep.
Oh, the images were alarming. I mean, it was a dark day in American history, guys, and we're not finished talking about yesterday's events in the nation's capital and the reaction really around the world of sports, because there were so many reactions and many athletes not shying away from what's going on in our country. More Undisputed. No mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed. No mercy.
After their Week 17 finales, the Jets, Jaguars, and Chargers all moved on from their current head coaches, creating a total of six openings when you add the Falcons, Texans, and Lions to the mix. However, according to a ranking by NFL.com, the L.A. and Jacksonville jobs are the most intriguing, in large part due to the quarterbacks. Justin Herbert with the Chargers and the projected first overall pick, Trevor Lawrence with the Jags. So, Shannon, would you rather have the L.A. job with Justin Herbert or the Jacksonville job with Trevor Lawrence?
A lot of it's going to be dependent on who becomes the head coach. Skip, I was going back and forth, and I agree. I believe the Chargers job, because Justin Herbert was fabulous this year, Skip. The kid didn't start the first game and threw for over 4,300 yards, 30-plus touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He was magnificent.
Yep.
But, Skip, when you look at the Jags, not only do they have the first pick, they got $100 million in cap space in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. which means no state income tax.
Agreed.
You could attract a lot of people with that. So, California, I don't know. You and I know firsthand about California state tax. Mm-hmm. So let me see, 12-13% or 0%? And the first round draft picks that they got, not only do they have the number one, they got the Rams pick for Jalen Ramsey. Yep. They get a pick for Ngakoue.
They do.
So it's still, they got, 11 picks? Mm-hmm. So they are primed to attract people to come. Look. All this notion, and I know Justin Fields played fabulous on Saturday, mm-hmm. but Justin Fields doesn't have a hillbilly heartbeat chance of going number one overall. With that being said, I believe Jacksonville, with $100 million in cap space and the number one overall pick and the ability to no state income tax, Skip. Now, Justin Herbert, I've already seen his body of work in the NFL. He's fabulous. They got Joey Bosa. They got Keenan Allen. They got Hunter Henry. Now, what are they going to do with him, because they franchised him last year? the Big Williams, Skip, they got some nice pieces offensively. Mm-hmm.
Do they?
The question is, Derwin James, he's a fabulous safety, Skip, but he can't stay healthy.
Yep.
He just can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So right now, I'm going to say the Jags slightly because they're not because of the quarterback. They might get, I'm talking about the $100 million that they got in cap space and how they can build out this roster, Skip.
Yep.
You can get a lot of good pieces. And think about, Skip, the cap is not going to be $190 from what it was. And you got $100 million? Skip, you can get a lot of good players. Mm-hmm. They're going to be some guys that's going to be available that you're going to be able to get for pennies on the dollar and build out a roster to surround Trevor Lawrence. You got to make it something really good, special mm-hmm. in Jacksonville. But that L.A. job, whew, not a bad job to have.
Oh, it's a good one.
And the weather can't beat the weather.
So this is a really close call.
It is.
If I were a coaching candidate and I had an option, whew, here's my gut feeling on Trevor Lawrence. I believe he's going to have a little better career than Justin Herbert. Just a wow. little better. But I'm betting on the come. I don't know that. I only know what I've seen in college football. The difference is Trevor Lawrence at 6 feet, 5 inches tall can really run. Mm-hmm. It's straight line running. It's not make you miss.
No,
Michael Vick going on.
No.
But if you give him a crack, he can hurt you. He can run 40 yards. And I'll be curious to see if he times. But yeah, I bet he can run 4.6-ish in that ballpark. But that's for that 6'5", that's
Skip,
pretty fast.
And look at all the young quarterbacks, all the up-and-comers. What can they do? They all can move.
Yep.
They all can move from Lamar to Kyler to Justin Herbert to Josh Allen. All the guys can move. Aaron Rodgers, the only guy that really doesn't do a whole lot of moving that's still picking your part is Brady.
That guy. Okay, so neither of us loved Justin Herbert when he was at Oregon.
No.
I watched him a lot. I got to tell you, lost his poise. He lost his way numerous times in what I considered pretty big Pac-12 games.
Yes.
And yet in his bowl game, he was very good.
Yes.
And in the All-Star game, he was very good. And he was way better than I thought. And I cannot argue with 31 touchdowns. And his coming out party for me was the day they jumped up 24-7 on Brady at Tampa.
Right.
They couldn't hold it, but he was throwing rockets all over the field. Mm-hmm. And I said, where did this come from? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a blip. It was a trend.
Skip, you remember his first start against Kansas City? Mm-hmm. He had them on the rope. He made one mistake, rolling to his left, throws back across his body, gets picked in the end zone.
Didn't even know he was going to start until right at kickoff.
And then he goes to New Orleans and do basically the same thing. He's up 17 on them.
They were actually too good for their own good. They could have won a couple more games, but they went 7-9 and cost themselves whatever draft pick.
They were up by like 20 on Denver and ended up losing that game.
They ended up losing that game. So I hear you about L.A. What I'm torn about is they have established star. Keenan Allen is a flat-out star.
Yes.
Derwin James can be a star if
he can stay healthy.
And Joey Bosa, if he could stay healthy.
Yes.
I think he's only played 16 twice in his career.
Right.
And my man Casey Hayward, cornerback from Vanderbilt mm-hmm. University, he's really good. They have pieces that are star Pro Bowl pieces,
Yes.
And that kid Kenneth Murray they took out of Oklahoma, he can play, mm-hmm. but he could play at Oklahoma. He's a tackling machine. So I look at Hunter Henry, he's going to be a free agent, but they have plenty of room to resign him.
Yes.
And obviously Mike Williams mm-hmm. and Jalen Guyton, there are pieces in place.
Eckler.
Okay, Eckler can play. It's Los Angeles. I know they're the equivalent of the Clippers. They're the second team in L.A., but they get to play in that same beautiful billion. How many billion is it?
Three and a half billion.
Okay, it's beautiful, and it's in Los Angeles. It's in this weather, and I think you can attract free agents here, even though you got the state tax. Jacksonville also has some young pieces that are they're mildly intriguing to me because when I look at what they have.
Little Robinson kid can run the running back.
He can run.
Yes.
He can run. Every time I looked up, he was doing something. Mm-hmm. I'd say, wow, he's not bad. James Robinson. Ka'Lavon Chaisson, I wanted the Cowboys to take him if, in fact, CeeDee didn't mm-hmm. fall in their laps at 17.
Right.
So I think he can play. That C.J. Henderson that they drafted, he can play. Mm-hmm. Laviska Shenault can play. D.J. Chark can play.
Yes.
Okay, so there's some younger, less proven. Miles mm-hmm. Jack is a proven piece. And the other Josh Allen plays linebacker there, who's pretty good.
Right.
Well, it was just 2017. They were at Foxborough in the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think, okay, if you give me Trevor Lawrence, now you got to trust that he's going to be at least what Justin Herbert is, right, if not a little better. So I go back and forth. So in the end, because I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a little better career, I would do Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And again, your point about the no state tax with the most cap money in football.
$100 million.
And they have the Rams first rounder, as you said, and they have Minnesota's first rounder in 2020.
In this draft. Yes.
And they got an extra fourth and an extra fifth.
Well, yeah.
Well, if you got the right brains of the operation in there and you get the right man for the job, they're going to be back in the
mix.
You
hit on two of the three first rounders. Now, if Trevor Lawrence is what many believe that he is, he's going number one. You got him. You got him in the bag. Now, with your pick or Minnesota, do you package that, Skip, and move up? There's somebody else that you really like? Because if there's somebody else you could like, you could package those two first rounders and come back up and get somebody.
Yeah.
You got the pieces. They got the capital.
So which of those two teams has the most fervid fan base? Well, Jacksonville has never supported that team the way Green Bay supports its team as a small market team, right?
No.
And yet, in L.A., you are definitely the stepchild, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
As the Chargers, because you're so the hard. San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, you got to win here in L.A.
Yep.
It's too much to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know we shut down now, but it's too many patios that you can go eat on. Yeah. You got the beach. You got Manhattan Beach. You got Venice Beach. You got too much going on for you not to win and think people going to come see you play.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
And too many people grew up here as Rams fans,
yeah,
so their heart's always going to be with the establishment, right?
Yes.
The Rams.
Yes.
So I don't know that fan-wise, it's like a push.
Yeah.
That neither is great.
And in Jacksonville, Skip, you happen to be, you in college country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you got Gainesville down the street. You got, you know.
What they used to call the world's biggest cocktail party is played in your right under your nose.
Right. So.
And remember, they were scheduled, because they don't draw well at home, they're scheduled to play two games, if not for COVID, this year in London.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Two games? Well, they're just showing you they're sort of going to become a split city team.
I mean, Skip, they used to attract when they had Mark Brunell and Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell and Nate Trotman. They had a nice little fan base then, but then all of a sudden they started bringing out the tarp and covering up a lot of it. But, Skip, with that kind of money, if you get that guy, and that guy's what you believe he is, and what you can attract to build around him, you can build a nice house.
Yep. I'm with you. I would slightly choose the Jags over the Chargers.
We finally agree on something. Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Should we also move the show?
I just wish I had that opportunity. I could coach that team.
Oh, you coach the Jags?
I could coach Trevor Lawrence.
How about we move the show to Florida? We all save some money on tax purposes.
Would we?
And then it's just, you know, we'd be living large, right?
Ferrari, here I come.
I feel like you'd have that either way, though, Shannon. Okay, all right. Well, either way, it's going to be interesting to see where those teams go in terms of coaches. So right now we wait. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
Well, last night, Alabama receiver Devontae Smith won the 2020 Heisman Trophy, becoming the first wide receiver to do so since Desmond Howard won it in 1991. Smith led the FBS in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns this season. So, Shannon, will he be a perennial Pro Bowl receiver in the NFL?
I think what's causing people concern, Skip, is a slight build.
Yep.
I think when you look at him, he doesn't have the physical stature, say, like a Julio or a Mike Thomas, one of these big receivers. But let me give you a couple of guys who his body type reminds me of. Marvin Harrison was 6 foot tall, 185 pounds.
Yep.
Isaac Bruce was 6 foot tall, 185 pounds.
Yep.
Both of those guys have over 1,000 catches.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys over 14,000 yards. Both of those guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Both of those guys could run very good routes. And the one thing we know about receivers coming out of Alabama, Julio could run routes even at 230. Calvin Ridley, impeccable. Jerry Jeudy, impeccable. Devontae Smith, impeccable.
Amari Cooper, impeccable
at running routes. Now, Ruggs is the fastest, so his right, it's kind of hard to run routes when you got that kind of speed because it takes you time to decelerate and get in and out of breaks. Yep. But we get where we're going with this, Skip. So I think he can be very good. A lot about where young receiver goes has to do with where he goes and who his quarterback is at the time. You look at Jefferson, and while you might not think Kirk Cousins is great, he's a very good quarterback. And 1,400 yards tells me, okay, yeah. And so you look at some of these other, Calvin Ridley, where did he go? He went with Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Julio, Matt Ryan in Atlanta. I think the quarterback at the time was Derek Carr with Amari Cooper. I think they came out the same year. I think he was the second round pick and Coop was the first round pick. So that has a lot to do with it, Skip. He goes to a good situation where there's a, I'm not saying he got to go with Tom Brady, he got to go to a historically great quarterback, but he goes to a place where they have a decent quarterback. I think he can be very good because he understands competition. Mm. And in Alabama, it's competition every day.
Yep.
Because if you have a slip up, another guy's going to get on the field and think about it. He had to wait his turn, Skip. Catch the game-winning touchdown as a true freshman, comes back, win the Heisman, lets you know he's built of the right stuff. Yes. So I think he can be a very, very good pro.
Perennial Pro Bowler?
Skip, if you think about it, Isaac Ruth only went to 4 Pro Bowls, but he had over 1,000 catches, 15,000 yards, and then the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So will he go to 8, 9 Pro Bowls? Probably not. But could he make 3, 4? Yeah, I'll give him that.
I'm going to go perennial Pro Bowler. I agree with you. Much of the equation is the quarterback.
Yeah.
You got to get right place, right, right time, right fit.
And he's had good quarterback his whole career at Alabama.
He has. But I have been taken by this young man on and off the field. I got chills last night watching him handle himself in winning the Heisman. It is rare for a receiver to win it. And when we talk about go-to receiver, clearly a number one receiver, usually they have to have some diva in them.
Right.
It just goes with the position.
They're brash, they're outspoken.
Yeah, they are. Not this young man. Uh-huh. Amari Cooper out of the same mold. Maybe to a fault, because I sometimes wish Amari had a little more self-confidence.
But think about it, Skip. Julio's like that. Julio's not brash. Kind of Amari is quiet. You look at all the Ridley doesn't do. Maybe that's the way that system.
Maybe Coach Saban says, I'll take them, but I'm going to show them that they have to play my way or the highway.
Yeah.
Okay, so this young man came out of small town Louisiana as a really skinny freshman.
Yeah.
160-ish pounds.
Yes.
And he rose and shone on the biggest stage in college football. And he took over that team on and off the field. He became the unquestioned leader of that football team. And it's hard for a wideout to become the leader of a team. But you can tell they just gravitate to him. They watch him. They feed off him.
Mm-hmm.
He dominated games this year in ways it's rare to see a wide receiver.
Especially when Waddle went out.
Agreed. Once Waddle went out, he just said, I got this. Even against Notre Dame the other night, I was just in awe of his production.
It's effortless, though.
It's easy speed. It is easy speed, and he catches the ball effortlessly, a la Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Jerry Rice's problem was he caught everything so effortlessly that it never looked like he made a highlight reel catch because he made them all look easy.
There's no one-handed catch that we see DeAndre Hopkins or Odell make everything. He just made everything look so easy, so you're just like, man, he ain't that good.
Okay, so I got it. I've told you I've docked Tua a little bit because he benefited from the track team of receivers. You can also dock this kid and you can say, well, yeah, but he had Waddle for much of the year and he had everybody else around. You know, they're surrounded.
They might get Waddle back.
They might for the game. They might. I think so. It sounds like it's headed that direction. But if you look at the production from this young man against Georgia, 11 for 167. Mississippi State was 11 for 203. Auburn, 7 for 171. LSU, 8 for 231. Florida, the biggest game of the year, 15 for 184, and then 7 for 130 against Notre Dame, and it felt like it was 14 for 260.
And Skip, remember last year, even though they lost to LSU, he went over 200 yards.
Listen,
He's going to go in the top five. Yeah. He might go in the top three, depending on fit is.
Yes.
But the point is, right now he's listed at 6'1", 175. Mm-hmm. He plays a lot stronger than his build.
Yeah.
He looks strong to me.
Yes.
I don't see him getting out physical.
No.
I don't see him getting bullied by press coverage. I don't think you can press him.
And that's the thing, Skip. Like I said, when you look at him, I mean, you look at him in his uniform and you look at him holding that trophy, you can tell he's a thin build guy.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was in the league
You've seen wiry strong.
Yeah. Like I said, I was in the league when Isaac Bruce played. I remember playing against Isaac, and he was tremendous at running routes, could get off press. Marvin Harrison. Skip, look at his body is exactly what Marvin Harrison's body is. You look at Marvin Harrison, and that's what his body looks like.
Yeah. Now, Antonio Brown is a small man, but he's in a different package.
Yeah. He's shorter. He's more returnish, mm-hmm. and that's why he has that start-stop quickness. So I think he's going to be really good because normally Alabama receivers are really, really good.
Yep. And remember, he returned punts this year quite a bit. Not all the time,
right.
but he had a 24-yard average on punt returns and broke one for a touchdown.
It's Arkansas.
So if you want to risk it, you could use him as your punt returner. They used Dez Bryant, the Cowboys did for a couple of years as a punt returner.
Well, Tim Brown returned punts for a number of years. You know, he was the first true receiver and returned, got it to win the Heisman Trophy, and then Desmond won it a couple of years later. But Skip, when I look at this kid, I don't know if you want to, because even Tyreek, they got Tyreek from back there. It's just too dangerous. You're too valuable on the offensive side because those guys are coming out there, Skip. You get hit in the thigh, you get dinged, so it's really not worth it. But you're right. He could return punts. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's going to be his long-term ambition to be running. He wants to be on the offensive side of football, but he's special.
Hey.
And for him to come back, because he might have been a low first-round pick last year.
He would have been. I would agree. So, comes from a strong family background.
Yes.
He's mature. He's humble. He's somebody a franchise can bet on for the long haul. I just think he's going to be money in somebody's bank.
And you know what, Skip? You can turn your phone off at night.
You can. That's what I'm saying.
You ain't got to worry about it.
Nope.
He said they supported me even though they wanted me to go to LSU.
They
supported me going to Alabama. Because you don't, Skip, if you go from there, you're one of those top players, they don't want you to leave the state. Because you remember, was that Landon Collins? Landon Collins' mom, he can go to Alabama, but I'm still LSU.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's like, mama, that house now.
Hey, I want to congratulate this young man because he's a great representative for college football and for winning this award.
Yep. But, I mean, can you think about it? A little over a decade ago, Alabama had no Heisman Trophy winners, and now they got three in the last 10, 11 years. Old St. Nick doing it.
And guess who's going to have one next year? Back to the Oklahoma pipeline. Spencer Rattler, here he comes.
This goes back to the Sooners for Skip. Did you guys see the handwritten note, too, going around social media from Smith to his teachers? He'd written out handwritten notes thanking his teachers for all the ways that they had helped him. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. And it was really special just to see him and be honored in that way. I'm looking forward to his future.
No mercy.
Ezekiel Elliott finished with only 42 yards on the ground in the Cowboys' 23-19 loss to the Giants yesterday. It was the running back's sixth game this season with fewer than 50 yards rushing, and he finished with his lowest total rushing yards of his career at 979. So, Skip, can the Cowboys make the playoffs next season with Zeke as their lead back?
Shannon Sharp, you got me today. I do not love my team's chances going forward with Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott.
What?
I have a quarterback who wants far more money than I believe he's worth. I like him, but I don't love him that much. And I like Zeke, but he is now making far, far more money than he is worth at this stage of his career.
Can he still only 26?
I got it, but I believe I was first to market with this. He still looks like he's running in Cabo San to me. He has lost his burst. And now, repeatedly, when I need him the most, I can't trust him to be there. Yesterday, he waved out first quarter with some kind of weird, mysterious injury. first and 10 at the 16, down 6-0, when you have a chance to seize control of the game because you could say, hey, I'm the best player on the field. You can't stop me. And I thought it was his moment and his time, and he waves out. And if he was truly hurt and could not return to the game, I'd be good with it, obviously. He returned to the game and looked just fine to me a couple of series later. What? So now I've got a Zeke who is still very good at making something out of nothing, because that half-yard run at the goal line yesterday, that was really good. If we could see that, it's a half yard, but there was nothing there, and he got home. And here we go. And there's nothing, so he just willed it over. He fought it over. My problem is he can't make something out of something. When you give him something, he can't make much out of it because he might get you two or three. He might. There's a hole, half a hole.
You know what it is, Skip? You've been spoiled by Derrick Henry, because every time you turn on your TV, you see a 265 man going 50, 60, 70, 80 yards.
Okay, well, you can also make the point I got spoiled by Zeke.
Yeah.
Love Zeke. I was good with the drafting of Zeke, even though I thought they needed Joey Bosa. I said, this guy is so explosive.
You know what got you spoiled is Ohio State Zeke. Last four games.
Okay, but how about 2016?
Yes.
Rookie Zeke, he ran for 109 yards a game.
Yes.
And that fell to 98 the next year, which fell to 96. Still, it's okay. These are yards per game. And then all of a sudden, that fell precipitously to 85 in 2019. And this year, it fell all the way to 65 yards
even,
a game.
Even 80, you can live with 85. Okay. 85 is a very good season,
okay.
Skip.
Do you realize he has plummeted from 109 to 65 yards per game? That's almost 45 yard drop,
Skip,
per game.
That's not an accident, because look at what happened. Zach Martin,
okay,
not in the lineup.
I got you.
Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith.
Okay.
That's not an accident, Skip.
Pro Football Focus grades Zeke right now the 44th best running back in pro. The 44th, and you're the highest paid? And let's look at this. Ezekiel Elliott this season had the 5th most rushing attempts in all of pro football. Okay. I'm good with that, because that's your bell cow.
Right.
Okay. That 65 yards a game ranked 15th in the league, but this is even worse. 4.01 yards per carry, 5th most carries, 4.01 yards per carry, that ranked 41st in pro football. So you're getting the 5th most carries, but yards per carry is only 41st. In what's happening? 1 yard, 2 yards, 1 yard,
well,
2 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 1 yards, no yards.
Well, see, if I'm going to take Jerry at his words, I blame Kellen Moore, because he's holding him back. Now, isn't that what Jerry told us? Jerry said Kellen Moore has been holding this offense back.
Said that.
So is he going to be holding Zeke and this offense back next year?
I got it. But do you realize they still owe him $75 million?
Yeah.
Do you realize on March 21st, coming up, this coming March 21st, there's an escalator where you would then guarantee his 2022 salary at $12.4 million if you exercise.
Yeah.
Are you going to? Are you going to go tap him on the shoulder and Jerry's going to pull him aside, maybe take him upstairs to the office? Zeke, we love you, but we need you to help out here a little bit and take one for the team, and we need you to renegotiate.
How about the haircut you talk about giving me?
I don't know.
Are you going to let me go to my barber and let me get a professional cut, or are you sending me to Great Clips?
Man.
Super
and then
cuts.
You have to make a hard choice here. Because he's about half of what he used to be, literally half on yardage of what he used to be.
Oh.
And you have to say, is it worth it to go forward?
Okay, okay. Dak got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So Dak couldn't perform to what we thought he would be. So we're going to take him off the board. Okay, you say Zeke didn't perform to what we think he should. But what about these other big dollar guys? What about Amari? What about D-Law? What about Jalen Smith? Do you believe they performed up to their capabilities?
They did not.
So because Zeke
not overall. They had their flashes.
Right.
They had their moments.
And Zeke had his moments, and that's my point.
He had one moment against Philadelphia. He went for 131 yards.
Skip.
And that came, was it one? No, it wasn't even that many. He got 31 yards on his last carry to get to
105.
105.
Something like
that's what it was.
Skip, the thing is that they always say, that's why you make the big bucks. okay, guys that's making the big bucks, Skip, those are the guys that you count on a regular basis. And far too many. 1 week I see D-Law, you say he showed up on Pro Football Focus, and then it'll be another 5 weeks he wouldn't be on there.
I agree.
So you got to have your guys that you're counting on, that you're paying a ton of money to. Those are the guys that need to show up week in and week out. And far too many times, those big dollar guys that we're counting on didn't give you kind of the kind of production for the pay that they were receiving.
So you got me. Jerry Jones overpaid for everybody except the quarterback, and he dug in on the quarterback, but we still don't have a quarterback.
Exactly.
It's the most important position in sports.
And guess what?
Right?
Andy Dalton did nothing to make you say, you know what, we can move forward without that.
Nope. And Andy Dalton said after the game last night, I want to test the market because somebody might pay him to be their starter.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
Somebody might.
Yes. And you know what? There might be some trades available. Who knows what's going to go on? Now, obviously, somebody might still want Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan. There might be some guys that's available, Skip.
I got you. Zeke, I still love you, but.
Would you like Matt Stafford in Dallas?
Yeah, I'd take him.
Yeah. You see that, Dak? You see how quick he done turned on you? Mm. Matthew Padford.
Huh. Mm. I'm surprised by that. Okay. See, I'm curious how,
for how
Skip
much money?
Feels.
It's going to cost a lot.
Oh, well, it's all about the money. No mercy.